financial literacy, and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham.
Guarantees, by the way, a very important word in this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Your pension is a guarantee. It's a promise. Don't trade it in for something that might be somebody's guess. Okay. So
Right. When
we're working with pensions, we're really careful here. We're really careful
mm-hmm.
about making sure that if we're going to give you lifetime income, it is better than what your pension can give you. If it
okay.
isn't, then we are obligated to show you and say, we can't beat that. Take the pension. Hi, it's Francis. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the money doctor, Dr. Francis Raham. Hi.
Hi, Jess. How are you today?
I'm good. And you have a really interesting story that happened that I really want to hear about.
You see, now you think it's interesting, and I think it just made me hot under the collar. Oh, my goodness. It is interesting. And I don't think we've ever done a show about this. But as often happens, my finger on the pulse, is my clients, the members of Hug Your Money, who tell me things that happen to them in the real world. And in this case, it was a client who had been with me for years. And thankfully, I learned about this because we'd built a relationship over many years of getting him out of debt and, you know, building a budget and planning his retirement.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to this one piece of his retirement, he assumed what most of us would assume. He's a teacher.
Yeah.
So I'll say that we're talking about Massachusetts in this show. But let me just say that this isn't unique to Massachusetts. For our listeners and viewers across the country, every state has its own version of a public employee or teacher's retirement system.
Right.
So whether you're in California or Texas or Florida or anywhere in between, it doesn't really matter. The structure is going to be pretty similar. These are what we call defined benefit pension plans. And we're going to talk more about that, what that means. But they're run by the state or the local government. The program is designed to provide some lifetime income based on your years of service and your salary,
mm-hmm.
not to sell you products or replace
okay.
your financial plan. However, the line gets a little muddy sometimes, and we'll talk about why and what you can do to protect yourself from this. So this gentleman's a teacher. He figures that the best thing he can do is go to the Mass Teachers Retirement System, MTRS.
Mm-hmm.
It's the right thing to do. Right? It's a great
system. Sounds
like it
would be. Yeah.
It's one of the best in the country. Right. It's well run. So he reaches out to MTRS, and somewhere along the line, and I'm not quite clear where, whether he clicked a link or he got an email or something happened, that he was, as he saw it, referred to someone who worked with MTRS.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Mass Teachers Retirement and most of these state boards do not refer you to people. As best of my knowledge. Okay, there's my big disclaimer at the beginning of the show. I'm not an attorney, even though we're going to talk about law and how this affects what their statutes are. You can look it up. You can ask an attorney. And this is to the best of my knowledge, designed to educate people. Okay, so somewhere along the line, he gets, quote, referred to this person. And the only question he asks of her is the obvious one. What will my retirement numbers look like? What will my pension be when I retire in this year? Hindsight's 2020, and after this whole thing goes awry and the poor guy is absolutely fear-ridden, being told that he would lose his money and that what he had was terrible and all of these awful things, the poor man called me absolutely distraught because somebody was telling him things that are not true. So, or at the very least, were a misunderstanding. Let's be diplomatic about it. They were a misunderstanding. So this poor guy thinks he's losing all of his money. He thinks all the planning he's done is not good for him. It's not accurate, whatever. Under the premise that he should surrender what he's already got in place at a pretty high cost to him, I might admit, in order to buy what she was presenting.
Okay, so where did he go wrong in the, like, did he call the right number that he got referred or did you don't, you're not sure?
Well, I'm not sure of what happened in his case, but we are going to talk about how this can happen, and it's way easier than you might think. Way
Okay.
easier. Happens to a lot of people. I was grateful to him for bringing it to my attention. And in the end, he said to me, because he was really upset. And of course, we were able to provide everything in writing, show him all the work he'd done. Everything was there, backed by the companies. The guarantees were there. Guarantees, by the way, a very important word in this conversation. Your pension is a guarantee, it's a promise. Don't trade it in for something that might be somebody's guess. Okay. So when we're working with pensions, we're really careful here. We're really careful about making sure that if we're going to give you lifetime income, it is better than what your pension can give you. If it isn't, then we are obligated to show you and say, we can't beat that. Take the pension, take that payout. Okay. I will tell you that one of the things that can happen is that companies choose names that sound like they're part of a mass teacher's retirement. Or they have website names that sound like that. Or in some cases, I think it's rarer, but in some cases, someone who works for your state employment organization might hand you a card and say, this person has helped a lot of teachers, whatever, right? And so it feels like a referral. But make no mistake, right at the beginning of the show, I'm just going to tell you flat out, they are not selling you products. They are a fabulous resource for what your numbers will look like, what your options are, all of that, but they can't and don't act like a fiduciary advisor. So if somebody's doing that, red flag,
That's
you should go back. Yeah. And of course, there's a website you can go to for Mass Teachers Retirement. We'll give that out. And you can always call their phone number directly, but it's the same in every state across the country. If you have one of these defined benefit plans, then you want to contact directly your state people and ask them, who am I speaking to? Is this the official one? And log everything, because this was so close for this guy. He would have lost a fair amount of money, which maybe she would have made up in some bonus annuity or something, but in my opinion, it could not have possibly been in his best interest to do this.
But again, what a big indicator of why it's great to have a financial advisor, because I'm sure once he called you and talked it through, he probably felt such enormous relief.
It's funny, because we're not using his name. I suppose I can say this. If he hears the show, he will know. But I think I even almost asked him to come on and talk about it, and I think he would. He was so irate. I've known this man for about maybe 4 years professionally, and we've worked closely together. And he's a gentle soul, but a big man, a kind man, and he was reduced to absolute tears. And he had lifetime guarantees. I absolutely just said, here it is from the company. Here's straight again from the company. Here's your guarantees, you know. It was so sad and infuriating. And to me, in an industry where we are supposed to be like doctors, right? We are supposed to care for you. We are supposed to give you good advice. That's our job. And we have power. You know, we're in a position of respect and supposedly knowledge, and people turn to us to be sure that the one of the largest decisions they will ever make in their life about retirement is actually going to be okay. They're going to draw a line in the sand and retire at some point and say, all right, I'm going to leave the workforce and maybe stop earning completely. Maybe they'll do another job or not, but that's a big, very big decision. And to make it without the proper work behind it, without without a debt plan, without a budget plan, without a retirement picture that includes not just your income or your pension, but maybe your spouse or partner's income and pension, your health care, a debt plan, other things like that that come into play. And I'll give you a list of what you should know and what you should ask, and I even have a handout for people that want it. You can just email us and we'll give you a handout on it. But to do that lightly, is not only not prudent, but I think if an advisor doesn't do that kind of work leading up to this, it's not responsible, in my opinion. I know it's the hard stuff. I know nobody wants to help you plan your actual budget and look at your health. I know that's not where the money is for advisors, but it's the right thing to do,
Yeah, this
especially the
is
debt.
Yeah, and with him, you know, he thinks he's working hard towards something all along, and then with one phone call, it feels like it's all wiped out. You know, that had to have been traumatic, really.
You know, I'm going to tell you, you hit the nail on the head. It was not only traumatic for him, but when I ended up having a discussion with him about this, I said, look, I know that I'm supposed to be the non-emotional advisor, but I think you know at this stage, we've worked together for 4 years. I
You're
think you
mad for him.
know, yeah, how protective I am of my clients.
Yeah.
And what really, really upended things is for me personally, is that you took a person who had worked diligently on their financial plan for the better part of 4 years through thick and thin. This guy got it done, right? And he wasn't financially savvy, right? He learned a lot along the way, but he started out with like, I don't know anything about this, and he's learned to manage his finances, right? And to take somebody who spent that amount of time and in one 45-minute meeting turn him into a massive uncertainty was incredibly heartless and unfair.
Yeah, and you think the end goal of this person was to sell products to
Oh,
him?
I know it was. I've seen
Yeah.
the emails. I've seen it. I know the product. I'm not saying that there are evil monsters out there, but let me say this. You don't know what you don't know. And that is true of all of us. There are things I don't know, right? There are things everybody doesn't know. But your job is first to do no harm. Okay? You don't take somebody out of a product that it has guarantees for lifetime, is maybe the top selling annuity in the country, and sell them something else because you feel like it by telling them what to be afraid of. Let me paint a behind the scenes picture a little bit about the insurance and investment industry. There is a lot of advisors out there, and a lot of them are very good. Many of them are very good, very trustworthy, knowledgeable. They continue to get education. They care about their clients, and they seek out the best possible options for them. But just like any industry, you're going to find some people who don't do that. And to me, one of the red flags is that they're pretending to be something else, like affiliated with, say, the Mass Teachers Retirement System, when they're not. That, at the very core, is the very beginning of I'm not being truthful with you in some way, and I'm out there just trying to get business.
I
And
can imagine another red flag would be if someone is not just presenting you options, but trying to scare you into going into a certain product, that's probably a big one, right?
yeah, we started out with me saying I'm going to take the high road here, and I really wanted to just talk about MTRS, great
I'm
system,
getting
this
you
is what
wound
to look
up.
for. And we will, but I just can't say this. You know, I think it helps people to understand that somebody in the business is telling you, look, pay attention to your spidey senses, right? Pay attention to your antenna when you're feeling like that doesn't sound right. Like in this guy's case, he knew that he'd worked with me for 4 years. The first thing that really bothered him was that somebody told him he couldn't trust me. And he was like, oh my gosh, I've made this terrible decision. I'm going to lose all my money. I believed her. And of course, I was able to show it to him in writing, calmed him right down. But as you pointed out, I bet it was a big sense of relief. That's when the tears came. That's always when the tears come when I'm meeting with people. They're wrapped really tightly about their debt or their finances or whatever, and they're telling me all those things they need to tell me. And then when they realize it's going to be okay, that's when they go, oh, and the tears come. And it's so common because we're all trying to do the best we can do with the skills we've got. And in this particular case, it means that if you don't know everything about finance, you're going to have to lean on somebody who knows more than you. And that requires trust. And trust should be earned. And in my opinion, if an advisor cannot show you in writing and explain to you so that you can paraphrase it back to them in an accurate way, find another advisor. Simple as that.
We're going to get much more into this in part two, but in the meantime, let's get your phone number.
Of course, it's 413-773-3333.
And you can go to hugyourmoney.com. We'll be back with part two of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess, along with the money doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. Hi.
Hi. Shame on me.
I love that you're this upset for one of your clients, and you should be. And that probably is a good sign for a financial advisor that you're mad on their behalf.
It is. But the goal here is to teach people what to watch out for. And I spend all of that time ranting just to set the tone for how serious this is. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about, or a lot about what the Mass Teachers Retirement System can do, what it can't do, who and what it is. Okay.
Okay.
In Massachusetts, it was created by the General Law Chapter 32.
Okay.
Okay. It's what's called a contributory defined benefit plan. All that means, all the lingo, right? What does that mean? It means both you and your employer, contribute to it. Okay. And your benefit is based on a formula, not market performance. All right.
Okay. So this is different from a 401k in that way.
It is. Mm-hmm. So that formula uses your years of service, your age, and your highest average salary. So if this sounds familiar to you, you have a plan like this. Okay. Go find it in your state. One of the things this gentleman said to me is it was the union who referred him to this person. But upon further talking with him, he kept saying MTRS. MTRS is not a union, best of my knowledge. I mean, somebody will call me and say, yeah, we're a union. I'll be surprised. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a state agency, and it's overseen by the Public Employee Retirement Administration Commission, PERAC, PEREC. Okay. It has its own board established under Chapter 15, Section 16 of the Massachusetts law. Here's the important point. Those board members, are held to fiduciary standards under 840 CMR 1.00, okay? It literally says they must act, I'm using my quotes here for the people listening to me, with care, skill, prudence, and diligence for the exclusive benefit of the members.
Okay.
Did I say in there anywhere that they're going to sell you a product?
Mm-hmm.
I did not.
So is this something that teachers are automatically enrolled in, or is this...
Depending on your state, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Your years of service after a certain period of time, you're vested, you qualify, whatever, depending on the state, different guidelines. So their job is to administer your pension, calculate your benefits, and keep the system solvent. That's it. Okay.
So if you're on the phone with someone and they're trying to sell you a product, then you know you're probably not talking to the right person.
Yeah, you should know that. And I'm going to give you a list of things you can ask to figure that out. So as far as I know, there's no statute that says the MTRS refers or endorses private advisors.
Okay.
So if someone says, I'm with the teacher's retirement system and I can fill in the blank, replace your annuity, get you a better plan, whatever, that's a flag. Okay.
Okay.
So what do they offer? Because as I said, it's one of the best in the country. So they offer educational resources, excellent educational resources, actually. Bravo, Massachusetts. Yay. Mm-hmm. Okay. They have seminars like your MTRS benefits and ready for retirement. Okay. Virtual retirement counseling sessions. Now there's another buzzword that people love to throw into their names. I'm the virtual retirement specialist, right? Okay. Virtual retirement counseling sessions for personalized estimates. Publications like The Advisor, which is a newsletter for active and retired members. And all of that is legitimate, it's all official, and it's all free. Okay? But they do not provide individual investment or insurance advice.
Okay.
The counselors will help you understand your service credit, your pension estimate, and your options, not tell you where to invest or which annuity to buy.
Okay.
They don't authorize, as far as I know. If I get a phone call, I'll come on and, you know, I'll scrape the egg off my face, but I've been doing this a long time. Okay.
Yeah.
They don't authorize outside retirement consultants. There are, however, as we've been talking about, independent professionals who specialize in helping teachers. Some are excellent. Okay. There are people who care about doing this well. Some are excellent. I don't mean to say that there aren't good people that you can find in this. But they're not MTRS employees.
Right.
So you should always verify who you're talking to, who they work for, and how they're paid. If you take nothing else away from this show, those three things are what you need to do. Verify who you're talking to, who they work for, and how they're paid.
Okay. I was
Question?
just going to say, how do you verify who they're working for? Obviously, you ask them, but
Yeah.
I know we talked previously on a show about scams and stuff, like to go back into the website, make sure that it's spelled correctly. There's like
Yeah, yeah.
little tricks, but how do you verify? I mean, I'm sure they're going to say, yes, I work for the blah, blah, blah.
I think the key is, do they answer you or not? First of all, a good advisor will answer you. A bad one will not want to answer your questions. But it's very simple. Call your state board and find out. And you
Got
can
it.
go to the website in Massachusetts, mtrs.state.ma.us, and
Okay.
find contact information for them. Okay. So I think those are the things you really want to check. Now let's talk about what MTRS cannot do. Okay.
Okay.
By law, again, my disclaimer, I'm not an attorney. I read. Here's what I've got, okay? By law, MTRS can only do what's written in Chapter 32. I think everybody would agree that that's how the law works. If it's written, you can do it. They cannot, according to that chapter, sell or promote investment or insurance products,
Okay.
refer members to private advisors, or make personal financial recommendations beyond your state pension. Regulation 807 CMR 3.00 through 6.00, are about service credits and compensation definitions, not outside investments.
Okay.
And 840 CMR 1.00 requires the board to avoid conflicts of interest and act only in the member's benefit. You will never see, this is why, in fact, you will never see MTRS hosting a sales seminar. If you do, or if you think you do, it's not the official system. It's a
Okay.
private company using similar language. Now, let me be very clear about this. That doesn't mean you won't get good help through them, but it does mean you better be on your guard and figure out, are they looking at the full picture, or are they just trying to sell you a product? I mean, your pension is only one little piece. You have to consider your health insurance at retirement and your spouse's finances and pension and social security and your social security, if there is any, laws are changing all the time. All of those things have to be rolled in, your household income, your plans for the future. MTRS or any other state plan, that's way outside their scope. They're not going to talk to you about that.
Okay.
Okay. So you might be wondering, in fact, how could this teacher have ended up, or how could anybody end up? And I wouldn't be doing a show about it if it wasn't fairly common. How could they end up talking to a private advisor when they meant to reach the MTRS, the Massachusetts Teachers Retirement System? The truth is, it's easier than you might think.
Was it a
So,
similar number, similar website?
good question. So let's go over the things that could have happened to this guy
Okay.
or to anybody. Many private firms buy Google ads, okay? And those are just popping up in front of you, right? Or they use websites with names that sound almost identical to the official system. I'll give you a couple that I'm just making these up, right? If you search for MTRS retirement estimate, which I think a lot of people would do, right? Hey, let me find out what my estimate is. And you click the first thing that pops up, you might get a landing, a marketing page, right? That says something like teachers, retirement consultants, or Massachusetts Educator Retirement Help. Something that sounds, it feels to you, I mean, that's not much of a stretch to believe that you type something in and you click a link and you end up at one of these places. What happens? You fill in your information thinking it's the state, and poof, you're on the sales list. Right? Now you're going to get an email that says, oh, we see that you contacted MTRS about your retirement. I'm an advisor working with teachers. I
Because
can
you're
help you.
targeted now. Yeah.
Doesn't take much, right?
You would think that some of these companies, and I know that this isn't the case, but you'd think that some of these companies would be required at the very beginning of the call to say, we are not affiliated with, but I'm assuming there's no law that says they have to do
You would think that.
that. Yeah.
Wouldn't you think that that would be good? I'm going to give you a list of questions to ask as well. but I want to make sure that we get all of this in time. So
Okay.
other times people might get a card from a well-meaning coworker, as we said, who says, look, this person's helped a lot of people I know or a lot of teachers, and then it feels official. But
Right.
none of that means the person works for MTRS, okay?
Okay.
So the safest move is always to start at the official site, mtrs.state.ma.us, or call the MTRS phone number directly before you share any personal details. All
Okay.
right. Filling in the gaps. This is important. Your pension is only one piece of this, of your retirement, right? So once you have your MTRS pension, by the way, you can go right to the state site, type in your information, and get your estimate right there on the site without ever talking to anybody.
Oh,
Okay,
okay.
you can
That's
do
good to
that.
know.
So
Yeah.
they got a calculator right there. And it's an estimate, right? But once you have your MTRS estimate, that's only one piece of your plan. You still need to think about at least these three things: your spouse's benefits or Social Security,
Okay.
your savings, investments, and debt payoff strategy, which
Okay.
most people don't talk to you about at all, and which can make an enormous difference in your retirement, and your health insurance and long-term care planning. There could be other things like life insurance and disability. There could be lots of other things, but those three things absolutely have to be part of your retirement planning.
Okay.
And those are outside the scope of any state retirement board that I know of. And it's where the right independent advisor can be of value. So when you seek outside help, look for someone who is licensed in your state,
Okay.
can provide full disclosures in writing. Folks, in writing, I can't say it often enough. If they can't give it to you in writing, it isn't worth squat. Okay. That's a technical term, squat. Okay. Doesn't need to tear down. This is probably my most important point about what happened to this guy. The conversation could have sounded like this: Oh, sir, I see you have this. I think we might be able to do better. Let me show you what I've got. It didn't go that way. It went, what you have is terrible. You should be afraid, run away, hit it with a stick, buy my stuff. Okay. Above all, an advisor that does not need to tear down what you already have just to sell you something new. Okay. So, what's a good first step for somebody who's nervous? Okay. Start with what's official. Go to mtrs.state.ma.us and start there.
Okay.
Download your own benefit estimate. You can do it right there on the site. It's a great thing, you know. Then, before you sign anything new, you run it past an independent professional, at least one. You want to get three opinions? My hat's off to you. Go through it, get three opinions, and see what you think. A good advisor, bottom line, will welcome your questions and will answer everything in a way you can understand it, even if they have to say it six different ways, until you feel comfortable with it. They will provide everything in writing. A bad advisor discourages all that stuff. You don't need it
Interest
because just
hysteria.
trust me, I've been doing it for years. I blah, 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 blah. Okay. All of those things can be said. You want it in writing. It's a big, big decision. Okay. Questions to ask. I've got this laundry list and a handout. So I know I'm probably over time, but questions to ask. Above all, who do you work for? How are you compensated? Are you affiliated with MTRS or a private company? So don't wait for them to disclose it. Ask it. Can you show me in writing how this new product or new investment improves my situation? And the big question, what happens if I do nothing? What if I do nothing? What happens? Okay. What are the guarantees and who is backing them? Those are the big questions to ask. Your pension is that promise. You never turn that in for something. Don't let somebody replace it without guarantees, with some sort of a guess. So I hope that this helps people, you know, be a little
More
more on
cautious,
guard.
maybe.
Yeah, a little more on guard about what might happen. The state pension systems build so much trust because they do such a great job and they do such a great thing, especially for teachers. But when you're looking at retirement, you have to remember that there are a lot of people out there who see dollar signs when they see retirees. And I just want people, especially the people who've worked so hard to teach our kids and to do this job that they don't really get paid enough for usually, you know, I want them to be safe. So.
All right, well, let's get your phone number.
Of course, it's 413-773-3333.
And you can go to hugyourmoney.com as well. Thank you so much. This was really interesting. We'll be back next week
Thanks.
with another edition of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Hug Your Money. Hug Your Money, where financial wellness gets personal. Will you help us spread the word about financial fitness? Please like, subscribe, and choose all. Thank you.
Financial literacy and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham.
There's actually literature backing this up that therapists are in a helping profession and they feel shame about profiting. And so they have this discomfort with the fact that they have to charge. And it's so uncomfortable for them that it's then really hard for them when their clients bring up topics of money and fees. And so many therapists just avoid it. It's like, we will leave money conversations outside the room. Good luck. You're on your own to figure that out. Unfortunately, that's how it goes sometimes.
Hi, it's Francis. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jay Dean, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. And our guest today is Joyce Labaugh. I'm just going to sit back and learn stuff. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, we're both learning stuff. I love to have her on as a guest because she's got this tie between the emotional side and the financial side. And that's where we sit as well, only she has all these designations after her name. I have PhD. She has like a list after her name, right? Will you tell us Excellent. About your designation?
Sure. So I first got the certified financial planner designation because I wanted to go into financial planning and I loved that.
CFP.
And then, yes, yeah, CFP, right? And then I really wanted to be able to specialize working with the ultra high net worth. And to do that, you really need a solid foundation in tax. So then I got a graduate degree in tax law. And I read a lot of tax code and a lot of Supreme Court cases.
I love it. Yep.
Such a nerd. Yes. And then when I made my career change and went back to study counseling to become a therapist, I got a master's degree in counseling as well. So I've got CFP, MTax, and yeah, PhD, MA, which is my master's in counseling. And then I'm also a licensed therapist. And that's a set of letters. LPC, MH is the set that I have right now.
Interesting. So I say that sometimes I'm an education junkie and I love to meet people who just love to, oh, there's something new. Let's learn about that. You know, maybe that will be interesting. So bravo. I'm just so happy to see somebody with credentials talking about this topic, especially about money, because as you point out, a lot of therapists not only don't want to talk about money, but I can tell you from experience that we have an inordinately high number of clients who are therapists or in the mental health field. And I've done a study, a one-by-one study, asking each one of them when they come on board, why do you think this is? Why do you think we have so many people in the mental health field? And the best answer I heard was from a Harvard grad, actually. And she was pretty young, but she said, I think we're used to asking for help. We understand how to ask for help. And we're not really good with money. We're busy helping other people, running a business, and most of us aren't very good at even running our business. There's the insurance collection and all this sort of thing. And I thought that was a very quick and very articulate answer.
While I was in getting my graduate degree in counseling, I did a research project on fee structures that therapists use. And part of that, I really got to understand therapists' attitude toward fees and money. And similar to what your informal study has shown, what I learned, there's actually literature backing this up, that there's a lot of factors, but one of them that's really strong is therapists are in a helping profession and they feel shame about profiting in the helping profession. That if I'm here to help people, then it cheapens it if I'm also making money. And so they have this discomfort with the fact that they have to charge. And it's so uncomfortable for them that it's then really hard for them when their clients bring up topics of money and fees, because it brings up the therapist's own discomfort with fees. And so many therapists just avoid it. It's like, we will leave money conversations outside the room. Good luck. You're on your own to figure that out. Unfortunately, that's how it goes sometimes.
You know, that's really fascinating. Even I'm getting a little insight into my own psyche at the moment, because I come from a family that had, you know, no money. And I always wanted to help people with money from the time I started working with John Hancock. But I'm in an industry that loves to capitalize on however much product they can sell somebody and the large commissions that are made on it. And I don't feel good about that. And so I had to develop this system that we have now, which is subscription-based, where you can get financial wellness tools for a small amount of money monthly, right? And I have lowered my fees, unlike probably any company, right? I keep lowering my fees and making it more accessible until now there's not even any contract. It's just on a month-by-month basis, you enroll. And what I've learned is that people just stay because they're happy and because they're getting results, not because they were boxed into something. Mm-hmm. And I just never wanted to add to the problem mm-hmm. of money and managing money. And so I personally am faced sometimes with people who I know really can't afford our services, but who really need our services. And I have to try and find a way to meet that middle ground where I'm not being taken advantage of. They're getting the help they need and everybody's okay with it. Mm-hmm. And it's taken a lot of years to finesse that. So thanks for this therapy session, Joy.
Well, as you're sharing that story, Frances, I'm hearing your values, and I'm hearing how you've brought your business, structured your business to align with your values, right? Because what I'm hearing you say is that you recognize you need to make a living, and also that you value accessibility, it sounds like. You value helping people. And that it sounds like there's a value of fairness as well, to a certain extent, that you're not just making as much money as you can because you can, but there's a fairness piece, it sounds like, as well. And so I feel like I hear you share how you've adjusted your business model to really be in alignment with your values.
Yeah, I'm this show really isn't about me, but I can't resist sharing this one little tidbit with you right now. We recently started offering Hug Your Money as a group benefit. Mm-hmm. And the first group coming on board is a school. And I just, adult students. And I just love the fact that we are able to scale this. You know, this is 217 students, all of whom will get access to these kinds of tools with the kind of support that I wanted to give. And I wouldn't have said that at all if you hadn't brought up my values. But it made me realize, yeah, we just went through a lot of work and expense and time to get this ready because I felt good about it, right? It mm-hmm. does come into play. You can't possibly remove your emotions completely from your monetary decisions, your financial
Absolutely.
Decisions.
And I think this really gets to a wise statement someone said to me once, and they said, whether you realize it or not, we're making decisions based on emotions. And so the key, if we want to be really sharp, savvy decision makers, is to get curious about what the emotion is and to see it and recognize it. And that way we're not just reflexively acting, but we can acknowledge it and then we can act with intention and make decisions.
I mean, I think every decision you ever make is based on emotions. So, you know.
Well, we aren't robots.
No, exactly.
Not yet, anyway.
Can I say something real quick about Frances, too? She and I have talked about this and have done projects together. And not only do I think that the Hug Your Money and the product she offers are a great benefit, any business would be smart to try to incorporate that somehow. But Frances also has the benefit, like she said, the first client is a school. And mm-hmm. she and I talk often about the fact that, you know, young people just don't get an education or a proper one about handling money, you know?
Jay and I just did a cartoon called Pablo the Pirate Cat, in which Jay is the voice of
She's sitting right behind Frances. Can you see him? I got Pablo. To be Pablo. Pablo's voice.
And it was for 5 to 11-year-olds to teach them basic things about money in fun ways, like using jelly beans and things of that nature. And so we're working on a tweener right now. He's a little cooler with a bandana and some skateboard tricks. If I would love to be able to get people at a younger age even to understand this so that they don't drag it around their whole lives. I mean, mm-hmm. I would love to hear what you think about strategies that you offer to people or strategies that you suggest to reduce stress and help with their alignment of money?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So before you asked me that, I was going to ways you can help children. So that's where my mind went. But,
oh, well, please do. Well, I'll remember the question.
Yeah.
Tell us how to help children. I would love that.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, so I love that it sounds like the resource you're creating. And another resource that's available for free is, this is one Vanguard created. It's called My Home Economy. And it's an app parents can download that at various ages of the children, you adjust it. And it's a way of teaching children financial literacy by incorporating it into the home. Like, essentially, you give your kid chores and you pay them for it. But they, right, as they get older, they introduce more complex financial topics. So I just wanted to offer that resource.
Thank you. We covered that partly in that cartoon as well. We used spend, save, and share jars so that they would learn to apportion their money. But we did cover, you know, budgeting, interest, but all in ways that kids would understand. You know, right, instead of saying, let's build a budget, we're saying, you know, sometimes Pablo makes a plan before he spends all of his gold. Certainly, we're not the only resource for teaching children either, but I wanted to get something out there. And yeah, I called Jay and he said he was willing to do it. And it's a video book. So back to my question, though, and thank you for that little segue. And I would love for parents to, anything we can do to facilitate the conversation between parents and teachers and children so that the next generation actually has the tools they need to use those different values, different ideas they have, but to be able to implement what they want to and not have it be another thing they end up, forgive me, Joy, in therapy over.
Yeah.
Okay. So strategies that you might recommend to help people lower stress. Mm-hmm. Let's take them separately. Lower stress things and then maybe align with their wealth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So lowering stress, I think one thing that can be really helpful is just to pause a moment and get curious with yourself. So it could even be like, it can be when you're noticing stress, can you take a minute or two? And I encourage people to just focus, where in their body do they feel that stress? Bring their attention there and get curious with it. And sometimes we start to learn things about ourselves. And it might feel a little bit weird at first. Thoughts might come to mind, images might come to mind. Just go with it, right? It all,
mindfulness.
You know, yes. Yeah. And when we bring curiosity to it, we can learn things about our relationship with money. So for example, you're feeling stressed about a purchase you need to make or your purchase you're considering making, carve out a few minutes and check in with your body about where you feel the tension, the stress, and just really explore that. And you can even ask it questions like, what are you stressed about? What are you afraid is going to happen? What are you hoping is going to happen? And like through this, you start to learn what some of your values are. So I think I mentioned earlier about like my values around money is, it, you know, it means safety and security for me. And the way I learned that is when I was facing a purchase I needed to make that was, I felt very, very stressed about. I got curious with myself, like, what am I afraid would happen? And I was like, oh, I'm afraid that I'm going to end up, you know, I'm going to die alone on the side of the road with no money. And it was like, this is like a $200 purchase. It feels like my, you know, my reaction feels a little stronger than is actually warranted here. But this is the beauty of when we are curious with ourselves is we learn what's actually going on, right? And that it wasn't just about the $200. It's about, oh, to me, money is about safety and security. And so I encourage people to recognize that when you're feeling stress or anxiety around money, this is an opportunity to understand yourself more deeply. If you can give yourself a little space and time to be with those fears, with those anxieties, and get curious with them, you're going to learn more about yourself and your relationship with money. And just that awareness alone can help reduce stress and it can bring a little bit more calm and a little bit more peace.
You know, I tend to tell people, give yourself a little gut check. But the second thing I tell people is figure out what your worst scenario is. What's the worst that can happen? If you can live with that, then you can calm down about this decision. The worst that can happen is you're going to lose 10% of your money, or you're going to not be able to make that car payment. Okay, what's your plan? What's your exit strategy? If you get into too much car and you can't make that car payment, what are you going to do about it? And I find that when people figure it out, they say, well, I'll just get a second job, or I'll sell some stuff, or I'll sell the car. Or whatever their plan is, once they figure out how to address the final ugly money monster problem, right? then they feel better about making the decision. But also along the way, a lot of times people don't like what they discover and they think, oh yeah, the worst case scenario is something I'm not very happy about. I'm not willing to do that. But that informs their decision. And then they make a decision, they make some adjustments to make the decision more wisely in a way that's more comfortable for them.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I've also encouraged people to do sometimes is, so you don't have to wait till you're feeling stressed, you can actually just imagine a room full of money and notice how you feel about it.
Yeah.
That can tell you a lot. Do you feel excited? Do you feel scared? And like, and then explore it. Excited, why? Because what will that mean to you? Oh, you get to take a lot of trips. You get to do all these things. Like, okay, maybe freedom and independence is what this value is. Maybe you feel scared because it's like, I've got this room full of money and I'm afraid it's all going to go away. Like, okay, right? It's giving you data around yourself. So that's just another thing that I've encouraged people to explore sometimes on their own.
That is really insightful. I recently had a client who inherited a lot of money. They'd never had money. They didn't know it was coming. It was a total shock to her. But we talked about her values and why is this such a problem for her? And she didn't just win the lottery. The way she sees it is she has a huge sense of responsibility now that she didn't have before. When she had almost no money, but she could pay her bills and go out to eat once a week, she was fine. It was easy to manage. She never expected to have any more. All of a sudden, this influx of money comes in. She's saying, oh my gosh, I mean, this kind person left me all this money. I didn't know they were going to leave it to me. And they worked so hard for it. So now it's my responsibility to make sure that I do everything properly with it. And I don't have any of these skills. Mm-hmm. It was awful for her. Nobody would believe that, but really very hard for her to do. Go ahead.
I love that you're sharing this story because I think for people who don't have a lot of money that they're like, what do you mean rich people problems? Right. I love this story that you shared because it really illustrates how money can feel like a burden. And then you have that responsibility and what do you do with it and how do you handle it? And so I love about that story is the way you were able to meet her with compassion and really see her perspective from her point of view and meet her in that. And I think that's really beautiful and important. And that's how we can help create change with people in their relationship with money.
Let's take another quick break if we can. Frances, can we get your phone number, please?
Of course. It's 413-773-3333.
And please feel free to visit hugyourmoney.com. We will be back with more financial fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Ram.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jay Dean, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Ram. And Joy Slabaugh. This is a very enjoyable show.
I don't think I've made it any secret that I wish financial advisors were trained a little differently than they are trained, than I was trained in the beginning, right? And that story that we had just before the break about someone inheriting a lot of money and having it really worry her. I mean, she wasn't sleeping at night, nothing, you know, really stressed. I was worried for her. And she was telling me stories that there are people who will prey on someone who has money. And most of us aren't ever given a skill set to know the difference. And so we don't know if the nice person telling us that this is what we should do is the right move to make or not. And the best we can do is trust our gut. And that is very hard when you're stressed or when you feel like you're in a place of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, since you gave us such great advice about, you know, how to sort of step back and check your body for stress, when somebody's in a situation of crisis management for finance and they have to act rather urgently, or at least they feel that they have to act urgently, what advice would you give somebody in that situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so there's a couple ways I can go with this question. Like, you mean about as far as like how to find a financial advisor who's not going to prey on you? Is that what you mean?
No, because I think that, well, yes, you can give us that. Absolutely. That would be lovely to hear. But it wasn't where I was headed. But yes, please do tell us that.
Well, one thing that I would encourage folks is talk to at least three people. That way you get a sense of the different flavors that are out there. Ask them about their fees. Yep. And they should be very clear and upfront with you about their fees. And if they're not, run for the hills. Yes. That is not someone you want to work with. I also encourage people to find people who have serious credentials. And so if you talk to at least three people, your spidey senses will be able to tell you who feels better than the others around these. And that's a great way to narrow down and find someone who's a good fit.
But also, money is very personal. And do you really think they're listening to you? Are they asking questions about your life, not just your dollars? Mm-hmm. For me, that's how I would want to choose somebody. Are they really interested in providing what I need? Or is this just what they know how to do? Mm-hmm. Here's the illustration, sign the dotted line, next. I would add to that, because of what I've learned and why we built Hug Your Money, that if all they're talking to you about is your investments, not your budget, not your debt, not your life, not your goals, not your kids, I think that's a flag. I know that's what they're trained to do, but that's my point. You don't need people trained to do that. You need people trained to help you, right?
Right. And because investments are only helpful for you if they align with the rest of your life. And if the person's not asking about your life and your dreams and your goals, then how can you trust that the advice they're going to give you is going to help you reach your goals and dreams? And this is the piece about bringing money in alignment with your values. Ideally, you want to work with an advisor who is upfront about their values and is going to help you explore your values and then help you bring your money in alignment with that. Because this is how money can be a tool, right? It can be a tool for harm and oppression and all sorts of terrible things. And it can be a tool for bringing your dreams to life, enabling connection with the people that you love, for having impact in your community and even beyond. And so find someone that you vibe with who gets that, and then they can help you understand your values and bring them to life with your money.
Yeah, I think I also want to point out that, I've been doing this since I was 23. Mm-hmm. And I started the debt portion, the budget portion, all of that 18 years ago. And one thing I will say is that pretty much everyone in the financial industry will talk to you about investments. Some may talk to you about a budget. But even if you don't have much money, the idea of getting rid of your debt in some responsible way that you feel good about, right? Or accelerating the payoff of your debt, as we do here, is life-changing. I've never met a financial advisor, when I showed this to them, that didn't say that changes everything in retirement because you're not depleting your assets, you're not doing that. Your asset dollars are going to last you longer, all of that. So what I would say is, if you're asking questions of a financial advisor, ask them about your debt and see what they say. If they just say, well, take some money out of your 401k because you're going to pay yourself back and it's a lower interest rate, you're getting the same cookie cutter advice you could get from your hairdresser. No insult to hairdressers, but they're not trained in finance typically. Then I think, you need to dig a little bit deeper into that piece. And I think it's terribly underserved when it comes to financial wealth, that even if you don't have much money, you can improve your situation drastically by watching your budget and your debt piece. And I just don't think we're talking about it in the industry very much. I mentioned the hairdresser and I saw you smile. You're going to tell me about where people ask for help, I bet. Where do people ask for financial help from?
Yeah, when I was at Vanguard, I led a research project to understand where do people get referrals for financial advisors. And I was stunned to learn that one of the top places people go is their hairdresser. Yeah. That's one of their most trusted advisors. And if their hairdresser says something, then they follow it or gives them a referral, they follow it.
If there's just one thing that you wish all financial advisors were taught, what mm-hmm. would you hope that is?
I really wish they were all taught before any client engagement, whether it's a phone call or an appointment, to take a few minutes to themselves, calm themselves, recognize what they're feeling, calm themselves, set that aside so they can then engage with their client coming from a place, come from calm compassion. I believe that is a game changer for the advisor. They can hear more clearly. They can hear more fully what the client is saying. And it's also a game changer for the clients. Because when you get to interact with someone who's coming from a place of calm compassion, it feels wonderful. And then you're not getting this agenda. You're not getting the things we don't like as much about the financial industry. You're not going to get those when people are coming from a place of calm compassion. So this is a really small thing that literally any advisor can do. It just takes 1 to 3 minutes before a client engagement and can make a really big difference in themselves, their clients, the client relationship, and success for the advisor and the client.
I love that piece of advice. It's not what I thought you were going to say, but I love it. Are you listening, advisors? Do this.
I'm down.
Just do it. Yeah, I think, you know, if you're dragging your baggage into those meetings, you're doing a disservice for your clients. You have to be clear-minded, separated from things, even if it means you're in front of the client and you have to say, I'm really sorry, I'm having a terrible day. Let me just, I'm going to be right back. Even if you have to reset. But, you know, people trust us with their livelihoods and their lives to get them to goals and things of that nature. I think we should earn that trust. And I absolutely think it should begin with some kind of compassion and an open ear and listening. You know, I don't like that approach that you're going to get from some people, particularly when they're trying to impress you with jargon or lingo and make you feel like you don't know what you're talking about. So you should just trust them. My golden rule is you should never buy anything you don't understand. And I don't care how complex it is. Any advisor worth their weight should be able to tell you in totally accessible language so that you can repeat it back to them, which I ask people to do. Tell me what you think I just said. Okay. That's what you should be able to do. You should understand these complex financial products, and your advisor should be able to tell you in language you can understand. You don't need to hear them babble about the intrinsic value of a stock. You need to understand what's going to happen if the market changes, or what's going to happen if somebody dies, what's going to happen if you want to get to your money. Those are easy answers to, you know, to get if someone will talk to you in a way that is certainly respectful and not talking down to you. Mm-hmm. That just irritates me when I see people that say, well, I've got this guy, I never understand what he says, but whatever he tells me, I just do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is like, let's put advisors on notice, right? So if your advisor is not treating you with respect, care, and compassion, and they're not using accessible language, I have good news for you. You don't have to put up with poor treatment from your advisors or mediocre service from your advisors. There's a new cadre is emerging that can really meet you where you are.
Well, we're betting on it here at Hug Your Money, I'll tell you, because that's exactly what we're scaling up for, is that sort of thing. Yeah, we're really almost out of time. So I do want to thank you, Joy, so much for joining us again. And this is a conversation I would have over and over again. I just think any information we can get out there to the public about, if you want to call it permission to challenge your advisor and to look at yourself more closely about your money and just put the fear, the guilt, the shame to the side. You know, your insights really remind us that money isn't just a tool. It's a mirror. It's a stressor. Mm-hmm. It's a symbol. And sometimes it's a path to healing. So, you know, we'll be sure to share your resources and let people know how they can connect with you and your work. But thank you once again for joining us, Joy.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Joy.
My pleasure.
Francis, can we get your phone number one more time?
Of course. 413-773-3333.
And as always, hugyourmoney.com is a great resource too. Join us again next time for another edition of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Francis Ram.
I almost asked if you could do a voice of the money monster.
Oh, a voice of the money monster.
Oh, it's the money monster.
Yeah.
Take it all.
That's great.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by
Hug Your Money. It's where you belong. Your future's waiting.